Hello and welcome to another episode of Mean Old World. This is the Tuesday morning podcast and this is episode number 40. So, another week has gone by and what I try to do is when I'm going through the week, I try to make the notes of the things that I do want to speak about on the Tuesday morning podcast. And I think writing those notes is a form of journaling for me as well. And journaling is a form of therapy and it's a way for me to understand what's happened throughout the day and just sort of take it all in. Because as you can imagine, as a mother who's trying to deal with a pandemic, trying to deal with, you know, just trying to stay sane as well, there's a lot going on. And I really enjoy recording these episodes because it allows me to reflect. And last night, I went to bed feeling completely, completely shattered. And I think it was just a combination of lots of different feelings. It was a combination of, I think, I'm still trying to process it, some form of imposter syndrome, some form of also not knowing everything. I just felt this guilt of not understanding every part and every aspect of our society. I feel like there's so much going on. You know, we got the pandemic. Then we saw what happened in America last week. Even just before that, we had the farmers' protest, which I'm also trying to read up on and trying to understand. And it just feels like every week something is coming up. And when I see the news or when I read the news and I think, well, I didn't know this or I didn't know this information, a part of me feels guilty that why didn't you know it? You should know all of these things. And I guess this is the danger of being someone who's so outspoken and someone who's very active on campaigning and trying to support other people as well, is that you try to make sure that you're read up on everything. And it was just only a few days ago I realized that it's okay not to know everything. And I think this is one of those things where there's so much going on in the world, there's so much happening. It almost, I wouldn't blame anybody if they gave up and said, look, actually, I can't keep up because it's just too much. And this is what happens when I started reading into politics. This was when I started campaigning and I had to read into politics because obviously I had to understand the system. And I felt, well, it's too difficult to understand. It's too complex. It's too, you know, people work in a very specific way in different departments that to understand that is takes a lot of reading and a lot of time and energy, and actually makes you upset sometimes to understand that there are certain things happening in the world and there's nothing stopping these bad things from happening. And yesterday I went to bed thinking, well, I feel like I need to read up on so much. And it is tiring, it's exhausting when you're trying to take care of a little baby, you're trying to take care of your own platform, your podcast and everything, and then trying to also like support other people as well. And this is my problem, and I'm very guilty of it, is that I wouldn't say I say yes to everything because I've learned to create some boundary into my energy and my time and learn to understand that I can give my time for free, I can give my energy for free up to a certain point. And after that I have to draw a line because I'm human, right? I can't do everything. And this is what people need to understand as well, as creators or anybody's going into this sort of industry where they're trying to influence people or trying to campaign, is that obviously for some period of time you will have to do things for free just to get the experience, and the experience in itself is so valuable. But I wouldn't say I've been saying yes to everything because I have learned how to set a boundary, but I would say I have been trying to expect too much of myself. My task lists have been quite long and if I look back on my task list, a lot of it is read up on this, read up on that. And it's like, well, I can't keep up on everything. And I think what happened in America last week made me really, really anxious because I realized that a lot of the people who've been campaigning for Black Lives Matter, who've been trying to raise awareness around white supremacy, for example, trying to raise awareness around the things that are wrong with the democracy that they live in the US, it almost feels like all of their work kind of got undone last week. I don't want to be the person speaking up about this or speaking to you about this whole issue because I feel there are better people to do that, and there are people on social media who you can follow who have a better awareness and understanding of what actually happened and how they feel about it. I'm not going to tell you how black people feel, for example. I'm not going to tell you how white people feel, for example. But what I would say is that it really got me thinking about how so many activists and campaigners have worked so hard to elevate the voices of black people and to show people that black people are, in a sense, protesting, and they're not rioting. They are protesting for equality, which is something I feel we shouldn't be fighting for in this day and age. And it felt like last week when this whole thing happened in the US, it sort of undermined all of their hard work. And I felt for all of those people who've been fighting for Black Lives Matter and people who have been labeled as terrorists. And I was watching a YouTube video. So there's this young lady who founded Black Lives Matter, the founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors. She was also on the cover of the September edition of British Vogue with me as well. And she was talking about how there was, when she started the movement, there were certain people, and I think it was Bill O'Reilly, the guy who's on Fox News, he called her a terrorist. And that's a huge attack on someone who essentially is trying to just work on creating equality and trying to do something that seems so innocent, really, and very honest, and it's coming from a very honest place as well. I just wonder how she felt. And the impact this has had on so many people worries me, and it does keep me up at night, because I just wonder how many more of these events and how many more of these situations we're going to have to see. Because, to be honest, it's tiring, and not just for me, but even those who are campaigning and those who've been trying to fight so hard for so many years. It's awful. And I feel like I have to be there for everybody to help them and say, okay, this is how I can help you. And I say that because if I can educate myself, then I can impart that knowledge onto other people. But I realize I can't do everything. I really can't do everything, because it's too exhausting. And sometimes you have to sort of stay in your lane and understand that you're powerful in your own way. I don't know if that makes sense, that you have a certain power to speak for things that you are knowledgeable about, but it doesn't mean that you don't read up on other stuff. But I felt that last week I just had to go out on social media and just repost and tweet. And then I finished all that. I was like, well, what did I really gain from that? Just sharing stuff, tweeting stuff. And I realized that I could just focus on the stuff that I'm doing, but also read up on other stuff silently. I feel like you don't have to make noise about the stuff that you're learning. I don't feel like you have to make noise about the stuff that you know, because social media has become that sort of platform where not only are we showing other people what we know, but it's also one of those things that can create a delusion that we are maybe fooling ourselves into believing that we are helping society by simply reposting a story. I don't know, it's very weird for me to explain, but I think that's what got to me on Sunday, so yesterday night, that everything just became really overwhelming. And I just trying to figure out what is my role on social media, especially because so many other people seem to be doing it so well, that you question yourself. And I feel like everybody has probably experienced something like this. And it was only after I spoke to Juggy, who's on Instagram at the Indian Body Coach, who told me that actually, Meenal, if you focus your knowledge on one topic or one area, it doesn't mean that you don't have to speak up about other stuff. You can, but you don't always have to make noise about every single thing that's happening in the news. And I think that was a huge, huge learning point for me. So I think we just need to really reflect on what we share and what we say and what we post, because if we just reshare, repost everything, I think it just all sort of becomes diluted amongst all the other noise. And the reason we do that is to share knowledge. But if we're sharing knowledge mindlessly, how much can we actually really help society? So that's my learning point for this week, I guess. But I think speaking about it and writing it down has really, really helped. So that's one suggestion I have for this week. Maybe at the end of a long day, just write your reflections. Maybe if it's one sentence or two sentences, even write it on your phone. I think at the end of the week, if you just read through it, you'll actually understand what you've gone through and perhaps have some moments of, well, I guess, turning points, really, because we have the time for that in lockdown, right? I mean, there's nothing else going on. So I think that we're more likely to respond to our own criticisms if we write things down. But yeah, I'll stop ranting about that. I hope everybody else is doing well. I know it's lockdown 3.0 here in the UK. I don't know what it's like in other parts of the world where you're listening, but I hope wherever you are, you're safe, because this new variant is scaring a lot of us. And I don't want to go into the science behind it. Again, it's one of those things I wanted to read up on and be an expert on, but I can't be an expert on everything. But from what I have read, it has a higher percentage of being transmitted. And it almost feels like it's just floating in the air. That's what it feels like. I'm not saying it is, but that's what it feels like, because it's so infectious, it's so virulent, it's just, I mean, you can see that the capacity of the ITU beds have run out in the UK, and London called a state of emergency as well. And it really sucks, because my parents were supposed to be here this week. We had to change their flight. And it really took me a long time to just get them on the phone and say, look, we're going to have to postpone your flight. I was trying to delay that conversation for a really long time, because it broke my heart. I just didn't really know what to say to my mom or dad. But I think, you know, we've come this far. Just got a bit more to go. We just have to put our head down and just get through it. I think once my parents get vaccinated, I'll feel a bit more safe for them to fly, because they did say that you can get a certificate to get on the flight, which means that you are COVID negative. But then again, if you get the test the day before your flight, you could end up being positive on the day, and you could be sitting next to someone on the flight who is positive. And I don't want to risk any of that, mainly because, as I said, we have come this far, so might as well just get through the next few weeks, I guess. And also, we've got a little baby at home, so, you know, we don't want to put her at any danger. And this was the month I was planning to go back to work. And I know it sounds crazy, but rather because it's 6 months this week and time has flown by. I mean, I was just looking at a photo yesterday and she looked like, I don't really know how to explain it, but she looked so tiny, almost the size of my forearm. And I was like, I don't even remember her being this small. And now she's so big, like when I pick her up, she's almost, it feels like half my height. And it's been an interesting journey. I think this experience of motherhood in lockdown has been one that has been unique to every mother. I've never experienced another type of motherhood because this is my first child. But I do expect things to be very different when I do have any children in the future, and if I do as well, without having a lockdown. But I guess I have to stay at home. It's too dangerous for me to go to work unless I get vaccinated completely. And Nishant went to get his vaccine yesterday, and I could see how smooth the operation was, and I could see how hard everyone's working in the NHS to make sure everyone's vaccinated. It was 7 p.m. on a Sunday. We felt quite sorry for the people working at the practice, because that's where Nishant works as well. So we went out and got them some pizza just to say thank you, really, because some people are working so, so hard. I think Nishant was saying his practice manager was working from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., something crazy like that. Everyone's working so hard to get us out of this pandemic. I feel that I should be out there as well, but I have to put my safety first, unfortunately, because now I do have Radhika and I can't risk anything. I think it would just be very silly to. But let's see when I do go back to work. Part of me does miss the whole routine of waking up. And I miss having a weekend as well. I miss looking forward to Saturday and Sunday. I just feel like every day is just a weekend now. And I just treat myself to biscuits every evening or cookies every evening, because it just feels like I'm on a really long holiday to some extent. I know what it's like for people who have been working at home for a long time, and let's see what it's like in the next few months. I mean, I feel like this will change so many industries, and it will be very interesting to see what happens to a lot of office spaces, because I think businesses have realized that they can actually work from home, and this will probably save them a lot of money in renting and office space. I wonder what people would do with that. But yeah, that's me just going into a random thought. But last week, I want to share this with you. Last week, I was approached by We The Woman Asia, and they are on Instagram. I think it's relatively new, but it's run by UN Women, and it's run by Barkat Dutt, who's a journalist in India. And I've been looking up to her for so long, especially during this pandemic, because I don't know what a lot of you know about Indian media, but I feel like a lot of it is propaganda. And Barkat Dutt was the only journalist who was really going out there and showing the reality of what was happening to doctors in hospitals. But not just that, but even to the point where she was walking miles and miles and going to these really remote villages in India to all the people who've lost their jobs. And these are labor class workers who've lost their jobs as like bricklayers or people who work in the hospitality industry, because everything was shut down in these big cities and transport was completely closed as well. They had to walk to their villages, they had to walk home. And Barkat Dutt was really one of the only journalists, one of the very few journalists who was bringing this to light. And I really do look up to her. I mean, the stamina that it takes, I think she was doing it for a good couple of months. The stamina that it takes is incredible. And I did follow a bit of her work prior to the pandemic as well. But I mean, my respect for her just grew over the last year. And she does a series where she interviews females who've been working hard during the pandemic, and she just amplifies female voices essentially through this platform. And I spoke to her. Now, last week, Radhika was doing really well. She was waking up at like 9:30 a.m. So I told the guys, I was like, you know what? Let's just chat at like 8 a.m. So I have an hour to myself. I can speak to Barkat and Radhika won't be awake and she'd be okay. But obviously Radhika was awake. She was wide awake. And when Barkat came on, I said to her, I was like, look, I'm really sorry, but Radhika's awake. And if I put her down in the playpen, she's going to get really upset. So she's going to have to do this interview with me. And luckily, Barkat was so nice to me and to Radhika. And even at the very end, so I put Radhika down for a little bit in the middle of our interview, just so I could just feel a bit present in the moment. And then Barkat did say at the very end, please bring Radhika back. I want to say bye to her. And that meant a lot to me. It was a very short interaction because obviously she's very busy. She's doing lots of interviews on a daily basis almost, and they're going out on Instagram and YouTube. But she gave me her time and she gave me a platform to amplify my voice. And I appreciated that so, so much. And to be with such kindness as well, and such empathy was really nice, because I haven't had that in a long time. I don't think I've had an interview where I've spoke about my full journey in that way, because I've had lots of interviews at the start where I was talking about I'm pregnant, I'm protesting, and then it went to I've had my baby, but I've never had a chance to actually tell my story from start to finish. And I think it was only after that interview that I realized the extent that I had to go to just to campaign and to work to create change. And I told Barkat that I don't think I've really fully understood what's happened, and it will take some time for me to reflect and digest. It might take some time for me to understand the impact this has had, because to some degree it's been quite traumatic and quite difficult. But yeah, that was a nice thing that happened last week, so I just thought I'd share that with you, and hopefully that should be out in the next few days. The guys working with Barkat are so nice and so hardworking. I think the a team of video editors, social media managers, just working so hard to put out this content. And it's just really great to see. But before I go, I want to go through a few questions that I have received on Instagram. So let me just quickly open them up. Okay. So the first one is all the way from Detroit. So this is Anisha from Detroit, and Anisha is a pharmacist, and she has said to me, hi Emil, thank you for all the lovely work that you're doing. I love all the photos of Radhika, and I'm feeling a lot of anxiety with what's happened, especially in the US with the protesting and the pandemic. I feel like I don't know how to unpack it. Do you have any advice? This is quite a coincidence that this is the email I opened just after speaking about what I said to Barca. And yeah, there is a lot that's happened. A lot of things have happened this year, and some of us may not really realize how much our patience has been tested, how much our compassion has been tested and empathy has been tested, because it has been a very, very difficult year. Something that none of us would have ever imagined 12 months ago. It's difficult to unpack, and don't feel like you have to unpack it today or tomorrow. I think just take it by your stride. And I know everyone talks about going out for a walk and all that, and I feel there's some sort of pressure when I go out for a walk. I feel like I should be reflecting on something, but sometimes I'm just going out for a walk and I'm not even thinking about anything. I'm literally, my mind is like completely empty, and I think that's okay as well. I feel like every time we go out for a walk, we have this pressure to reflect on our day or on our week or on our emotions, and actually we don't have to. Sometimes reflection comes at really random times and we just have to let it be. So all I would say, Anisha, is that just, you know, the things I was saying at the very start of this podcast, if you try and write things down every day, even if it's one or two sentences about how you feel, and then review it at the end of the week or every couple of days, just to understand what kind of emotions you're going through. And if there is some sort of pattern, then you'll be able to address it. Of course, if it goes much more deeper than that, and you feel like you need to speak to somebody else, reach out to family or friends, reach out to therapists, then obviously go for it. But I think if you want to unpack it yourself, I think the best advice I can give you is don't put pressure to unpack your emotions. It will happen. I feel that a lot of us have this pressure on ourselves that we need to understand how we're feeling and why we're feeling things, and we need to go on long walks and reflect. And actually, we don't have to do any of that. Sometimes it just happens when it happens, and it's okay. So I hope that helps, Anisha. And thank you for tuning in, and I hope things get better for you, and I hope that the next few weeks bring us all some hope and some light as well. It's been a very, very difficult year. It really has. Let me open up the next question. And I'm going to have to say this has to be my last question, because I can hear Radhika crying downstairs, and I don't know how much longer Nishant can can handle her for. So my next one is from Laura in London. Hi, Laura. Thank you for your email. So Laura is messaging me saying, hi, Emil. Thank you for reading my message out. If you do read it, I'm really struggling with my first baby. I feel like this could be postpartum depression. I haven't seen my family in months. I feel really alone and I don't know how to deal with it. Do you have any tips? Hi, Laura. Thank you for your email. I don't know how to say this to you, Laura, but actually I don't have specific tips for you, because different things work for different people. And I feel really guilty saying that, but the issue is, the fact is that being pregnant or having your first child or having children in a pandemic is not easy, right? And I think we just have to be more forgiving with ourselves, that sometimes we're very hard on ourselves for finding things too difficult. And it's okay to find things difficult, because we are in a very strange time. This is something no one could have ever prepared us for. So the first thing I'll say is just be kind to yourself. And on Thursday night, just before I call my parents to tell them that they can't come, I actually sat on the kitchen floor next to the fridge and I cried. And I let myself cry, because I knew that if I did that, I'd actually feel much better. So if there's something you feel like you need to do to make yourself feel better, whether it's go for a long run, leave the baby with your husband, I know that's very difficult to do, because I find that very difficult, but you just have to do that and not think about, oh, but can the baby be alone? Will the baby be okay? The baby will be okay for 20 minutes or half an hour, even an hour. If you feed the baby, if you change the nappy, I mean, they will be fine. And I think to some extent, you have to learn how to let go, because I feel like as mothers in this pandemic, especially as new mothers, we've kind of become really used to just having our baby with us, and the baby's also become really used to having us around them. So I don't know what it's going to be like to detach from this sort of bond after we go back to normal. I don't have specific tips for you, Laura, and I don't want to repeat the same stuff, like go for a walk, get some fresh air, all of that, because I know all of that is out there. But the only thing I will say, Laura, is that well done for acknowledging that you are struggling. And I think that's the biggest step. I think that's the biggest thing that you can do for yourself. And the only thing I would also say is that you have to have healthy breaks away from your baby. this is my healthy breakaway from Radhika. 20 minutes, half an hour that I have to record a podcast when I'm interviewing someone. That is my healthy break. And you need to find those pockets of time during the day for yourself. And it's okay if you don't cook dinner for one day. It's okay if you have to order takeaway. It's fine. It's a difficult period without childcare. So I'm sending you a big, big hug, Laura. I know how difficult it is. And I hope this podcast can help you in some way and get some solace and some respite from everything that's going on. But I'm going to have to say goodbye here. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in every week. Thank you to all your messages. And I haven't been able to go through many of them today because, as I said, Radhika has just woken up and I can hear her. But I'll try reply to them maybe on my Instagram or maybe do a live Q&A at some point as well. So I hope you've had a great week. And this Friday, I have another guest. And I hope you enjoy that episode as well. So if you are on iTunes, please do subscribe. Even on Spotify, please subscribe. Share this podcast with a friend. It would mean a lot because it means that more people know about it, more people listen, and we can actually share more stories with people across the world. Remember, you can find me on Instagram at MeanalsWorld. You can also find me on Twitter with the same handle. And my website has all of the podcast episodes as well. So if you want to go back to the very beginning, feel free to do so. So I'll see you all on Friday.